Welcome back to Time to Change. I'm Chasen Forehand.
And I'm Dr. Melissa.
And we get to have conversations with people that are creating change.
Not just change, actionable change.
And I love that because that means that they're impacting lives in the world.
Yes, they are. So much that we have 8 seasons of them.
I love that. And I can't wait to get started. So let's get to it. Welcome back to Time to Change. I'm Chasen Forehand.
I'm Dr. Melissa.
And before we get to our amazing guest today, we want to tell you that we are powered by Mayono. Mayono is our sponsor that gives us all this incredible gear that allows us to speak to you. All of our mics, our stands, our lavalier mics when we're out in the wild. We got to test these recently. So there's a video that's going on right now in out there in LinkedIn and IG and other spots. And it was recorded with our gear from Mayono. So thank you, Mayono. We appreciate you. We appreciate that you are powering the Time to Change show. Guiding Brilliant Writers Publishing. That is Nick and Jai Galindo. That is my buddy. Love her to death. I have every book that she ever has published. And I've been in one of her books. And she's doing the TK Cookbook, which will be out in March, at the end of March. So excited for that. Do Better Consulting. That is Desiree Goldie. And she is absolutely amazing. She's also on our board of directors. She is our impact officer. It is incredible to have her be with us doing the work that she does. And so thrilled to have her with us. HR Consultation. Those are my fractional guys. We do work with social good entities. So check us out. Our merch page, that's Tisha and Ginger. They do all of our funky gear. We love those t-shirts. Thank you so much. We've got a hoodie coming out, and we're going to do TK on the front, and on the back, it's going to say, "We flip more than eggs, we flip lives." So we're excited about that. We have a special t-shirt that's coming out just for our Cooking Up Change event. You got to check it out. And speaking of hoodies, this is my boy. This is my guy, Trevor Martin. Absolutely love what he does. He is an artist. He's a friend. He's a cool dude. He was part of our Feed for Good. If you don't know him, you should connect with him. Want to give a huge shout out to the next vendors that we're talking about. The next sponsors are all people that are sponsoring our Cooking Up Change event. That is Industrial Arts Brewing Company, Saratoga Spring Water, Hudson Valley Kitchen, that's Chef Chris Filari, Curious Elixirs, Mid-Hudson Valley Credit Union, and PepsiCo Distribution of Newburgh. Thank you all for your contribution to Cooking Up Change, which is the last Saturday of March in New York City, or virtual. You can grab your virtual tickets, and those are on sale right now. So thank you so much for being part of us. And by the way, my talented co-host here has an incredible book out, and she is a TEDx talk. She's a TEDx speaker and an incredible lady that you might want to have for your organization. And so check out what Dr. Melissa Robinson Weinmiller is doing. She's absolutely fantastic. And now let's get to our guest. Welcome back to Time to Change. I'm Chasen Forehand.
I'm Dr. Melissa.
And today we're excited to introduce to you Corey Easterday. He's the host of the Easter Pod, the founder of Easterday Creative. He is the National Director of Current Initiatives, which has the Laundry Project, which we're going to talk about. Yeah. And my favorite is he's the Hope Dealer. So welcome to the stage. We are thrilled to have you. And of course, I can't find the button. This is what we said. Here we go. Come on.
Yay. There.
I need to get it on here so I can just press it from there. This is too many buttons to move around. Oh my goodness. Well, we're happy to have you on the show, brother. And yeah, I'm not kidding. When I'm looking through your stuff and it says Hope Dealer, and there you are, the giant of you behind everybody in the picture. And it says, well, you've got the shirt on. Yeah. Look at that. There it is right there. I love it. We're going to start there because it's my favorite thing. So tell me about Hope Dealer. Tell me why Hope Dealer, what it means to you. And then we'll go into all the other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you guys for having me on. It's an honor to be on the show and get to chat with you. I know that Chase and I had a chance to connect a few months ago, and I got to learn about all the incredible work you're doing as well. So I'm excited for the opportunity to kind of share some more. So the nonprofit that I serve as the national director for is called Current Initiatives. We've been in existence since 2008. One of our main initiatives is called the Laundry Project. That's been in existence since 2009. So this is our 17th year. And yeah. The Laundry Project, just to kind of, and it ties into the Hope Dealer thing, just to give you an idea. So I mentioned we've been around for 17 years. We operate in 22 states, 76 cities. We've served over 33,000 families lifetime.
Wow.
Almost 350,000 total loads washed, which equals about over 3.4 million pounds of laundry that we've done. And we've this year we'll host our 1200th Laundry Project event. Very exciting stuff. The Hope Dealer mantra came from our founder and CEO, Jason Sowell. He has a whole story behind that is connected to how he came up with Hope Dealer and integrated that into like what we do with Current Initiatives. But as far as like the application of it for us, simply, we call our volunteers Hope Dealers. We, when we do the Laundry Project, like to say that we're dealing soap and hope. We like to say that in addition to meeting the tangible need of clean laundry for families everywhere we operate, that we are empowering people through that act and treating folks in a way that affirms their dignity as human beings. Clean laundry as an essential need. So that does that naturally. But then the way we interact with the customers we meet at the project is empowering, affirms their dignity. And we're there to inspire hope. You know, it's something where I grew up in a family situation. This is very personal for me, where single mom households struggled to make ends meet. We often had to avail ourselves of community help and resources and go to food kitchens. And one time, my family, my mom didn't, and my little sister didn't have a place to live while I was in college. And there was like a community rallied around them at that point, and they had some temporary housing they were able to get into while we found a better situation. So that was just kind of my story growing up. So when I heard about the Laundry Project in college and what Current Initiatives was already doing down in Florida, and me being in Ohio, I really resonated strongly with it. Of my family has gone through these types of things in real time, and seeing for my own story, being able to kind of redeem my situation and be able to, having done this the last 15 plus years with Current Initiatives and the Laundry Project, see the tangible impact it has. Hope Dealer is a very apt moniker because I needed so much hope growing up, and everyone we meet at these projects, just through that simple act of, we see you, we're doing what we can, we want to help, and do that in an empowering, dignifying way, it does inspire hope. So hope has a lot of meanings to us, its own origin for us. It's a very common phrase. I know a lot of nonprofits and different organizations use, but that's just how we've seen it applied, is through our different initiatives, especially the Laundry Project, of like, hope is tangible, you know, hope is relationship, hope is community. So
I couldn't love that more. That's just fantastic. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, and this isn't your only initiative, because I saw like Affordable Christmas, and there was something with homes. And so with all, everything that's going on, I mean, Jason's in Florida and you're in Ohio, but this is nationwide, right?
Well, yeah. So my wife and I moved to the Carolinas. I'm about 8 years ago. I'm currently in Charlotte now, but I was a native Ohio. And when it started, Affordable Christmas actually started in Canton, Ohio, where I'm from originally. My friends and I were living in like a neighborhood ministry house out of college, where we were trying to do everything we could to like ingratiate ourselves to our community and our neighbors, and do a lot of what was referred to at the time as asset-based community development. Like, we came from a faith background, and for us, it was like, if we really believe in God, and God being who, you know, God proclaims to be, in the character of God, that the neighborhoods and places where we want to help people, God is already working there. So how can we join in with that? And how can we help, again, be empowering of people, not just like, here, we're here to save you and fix it and stuff. And so through that ministry house, one of the things I'd heard about was another nonprofit called Mission St. Louis. My friend Josh Wilson, they're still going strong to this day. I read about their initiative, Affordable Christmas, in a book I was reading, and got on a call with him and just, hey, can we adopt this here in Ohio? So long story short, 2011, we get our neighborhood together. We have like 30 families like walk through our house, like very janky, just our kitchen, some toys and what, you know. And now it's this initiative that we've done in Ohio, Tampa, Las Vegas, and we get 80, 90 families sometimes, shopping for 200 plus kids typically. And it's all about empowering parents to be the hero for their children at Christmas time. And it's being able to afford things like tablets and bikes and gifts that are very meaningful and usually very expensive at like a tenth of the retail cost. And it's the parents shopping. We have personal shoppers that go with parents. So all of our initiatives share that same core value. Same with the Hope for Homes project of, you know, dignity and hope and empowerment. And it's just like, these are the practical ways, whether it's meeting the tangible need of clean laundry, empowering parents around Christmas time, which, again, my family situation, I very vividly recur the difference in my mom when she was able to go out and physically, you know, purchase gifts for my sister and I versus, you know, which we're extremely thankful for, don't get me wrong, but just having to do the free giveaways and things. It's just now I'm a parent, so I just understand that pride. It's more than just about the material side of it. It's about, you know, helping families come closer together. So shared core values, but yes, Laundry Project, Affordable Christmas, Hope for Homes. Those are our three main things nationwide.
Wow. It's massive. I'm curious. You're running. So just for the laundry part, I mean, good grief. I mean, we could spend hours talking about all the things you guys are doing, which is just phenomenal. Yeah. But in the laundry piece, you're actually taking, you have a mobile laundromat basically, right?
That's still in development. Not yet. Okay. Right now we partner with existing laundromats primarily. That's a project close to our heart that we'd love to be able to do one day is like have a mobile thing going. That's been in various stages throughout our 15 years. But right now it's primarily, and we view it too as like, there's benefit to doing mobile. And I'm aware of many other organizations that are amazing that do like a mobile shower, mobile laundry. All those things are super helpful. For us, there's a lot of value too in just supporting small businesses. Yeah. You know, the laundromats in our community, and really laundromats, there's such a great capacity, like at a mobile unit, you might be only able to help, you know, maybe a dozen families max with their laundry in a 3-4 hour period. We're able to help 40, 50 on average, 100 plus people because the laundromats have big capacity and they're just a third space, you know, like you have home, you have work, all these things. Like Starbucks became very famous through creating a third space coffee shop where people could meet. That's how we view the Laundry Project. You know, we're bringing people together. And so having the laundromat does help with that as well. But yes, mobile unit. Glad you mentioned it. One of our many dreams we're trying to get off the ground. So
it's good to dream. It's good to dream. Well, yeah. It's just for the way I view that in your mission, vision, and purpose is that's going to reach out to the people that are not around something like this, where you can still help the fringe communities that need it.
100%. I get emails all the time of like, you know, I need this service you offer, but I don't have a way to get a ride or something, you know? So yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm curious as well, when you guys do this with the local community, how do you structure that with, you say you're going to pay for a certain amount of people to come through, or you say, hey, we're going to take over, we're going to help you and your business, and we're going to take over your laundromat for a day or an hour or whatever. Like, how does that work out? How do you do it?
Yeah, it's typically a 3-hour project timeframe, half hour before to kind of train volunteers, half hour after to kind of wrap up. But we don't have any, we're very open-ended. Like, we don't check IDs. We don't have any restrictions on how many loads people can wash. We've made all the mistakes early on so that now, you know, very quickly we got to a place where we're like, yes, we have total open capacity. You know, we take care of logistics on our end so that basically all the volunteers and families have to do and worry about is like getting the laundry done, having a great time. We call it organized chaos for a reason. Every volunteer has a job. It's basically like a, if you were to ever come to a project, it's like a, it's a very organic, chaotic, well-oiled machine of, you know, no pun intended. That's how we're able to get so many families through. And part of that's choosing the right laundromat, having great machines, big capacity, things like that. But we've never had any issue with, very rarely it'll be, oh, we weren't able to help someone. You know, we're very, even within that 3-hour time frame, the way it's structured is we're able to typically get everyone through no matter how much laundry they brought. And, you know, usually that involves working sometimes with the owner directly to be like, hey, our, you know, this volunteer group has to leave, but, you know, I'll stick around. Can we wrap up these families in their dryers, whatever? So we're pretty open-ended with it. And that really helps our core value and why we're doing it too, to not have to, you know, put restrictions on it per se.
Yeah. Well, and I saw too, maybe this is just in Tampa and maybe this is everywhere, that like there's, you guys are going in and painting murals and like beautifying some of these locations so that it isn't just a one and done thing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That's, you touched on two things there. The Clean Mural Project's one of my favorite things we've done. We have those all over the country. When I was living in Ohio, I got to be a part of one we did in Akron with the laundromat we had partnered with for a while. But yeah, it's just the word clean, and it's part of that neighborhood pride, and it's often working with local artists to make those happen. The sustainability piece is really important because it's fun to rattle off the stats of like 22 states, 76 cities, you know, I have probably 179 laundromat partners, I think it is now. But for us, that sustainability piece is key of, we're looking for quality over quantity, in the sense we're not just looking to grow our numbers. We're looking to build long-term partnerships in every community we're a part of, so that it has that dual element of, yes, meeting a basic need and doing something that's like kind of right now, immediate, tangible, but also can build partnerships over time to just help be a part of the fabric of developing that community as well. I mentioned that that's not my thing. ABCD, asset-based community development, is I think it came from CCDA, Christian Community Development Association. Forgive my references. But it's basically this dual idea of, you have like a disaster, let's say a hurricane or something, there's need for immediate crisis intervention. But then there's always the flip side of, you need a development and building process. And so trying to hold both in each hand of, yes, meeting a tangible need, but how do we build sustainable partnerships is always something we're thinking about.
That's the way forward.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, we do the exact same thing. We approach it the exact same way, because it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's about the long term. How can we impact more lives? Because that has a giant rippling effect on right. families and communities. And that's remembered. So I applaud you for doing that. I want to switch gears for a minute. I would love this. We could talk for just the entire show about all of this stuff. I would love for you to talk about Easter Pod. And I thought that was so creative. You know, you are the founder of Easter Day Creative. You are, you know, you are a comedian, but talk about Easter Pod and what that's about and what you do there.
Yeah, I'm impressed you got all the titles. I can't even keep track of it all myself sometimes, honestly. I feel bad. People are like, what do you do? I'm like, can I sit you down for a minute and we can, you know, how does it all connect? But no, so the Easter Pod podcast, I'm just a big fan of Easter. Last name is Easter Day. That was the low hanging fruit. So my wife is a photographer, and back in 2016, we were still in Ohio. She wanted to start her own business. So long story short, there became Easter Day Creative, and we jumped on as co-owners. I run like a marketing side of it, where I help mental health therapists with their Google ads to, you know, spread the word about their services. I know, another very random thing. But wow. So we have like a marketing piece, the photography piece, the Easter Pod. The tagline is stories of rad humans that inspire you to engage the world with creativity and hope. So I've had the podcast for 6 years, very similar to what y'all are doing, trying to have folks on that whose work you enjoy and respect, and how they can inspire and influence others. It's evolved over time, but I've had lots of creatives, entrepreneurs, leaders, community leaders, all kinds of folks from a wide variety, you know, musicians, comedians, whatever, professional athletes come through the podcast. nine times out of 10, somebody I'm friends with. If not, it's somebody that I become friends with. I kind of joked when I started it. We just moved to Charlotte. This is my excuse to make friends. It definitely became that selfishly in a lot of ways. But for me, you know, I just recorded my 40th episode with one of my comedian friends. I started doing stand-up about 2.5 years ago. And it's just the through line for all these things, Yesterday Creative, the podcast, the nonprofit, comedy. It's all about connection and storytelling and building relationships and building those bridges. When you make people laugh, there's a connection that happens. It's unlike anything else we experience together when we're laughing together. And the podcast is just a chance to do exactly what you guys are doing. Sit down with someone and say, you get the spotlight, share your story. And I often walk away, I don't like the sound of my own voice, trust me, but I like to go and listen back because I often get great guests that are just sharing like really great tidbits and wisdom and their stories. So the podcast has become a catch-all vehicle for me of, okay, you know, clearly have ADHD and you're doing six different things. Nobody can keep track of it. So hopefully the podcast serves as like, here's where it all is. So, but honestly, it is just a way to highlight the inspiring and awesome people I have in my life. So.
That's awesome.
Cool. Well, and you've got a YouTube show, or you're part of a YouTube show as well, right?
Yeah, man, y'all did it. I'm impressed, honestly.
We show up, brother. We show up.
Yeah. I told you I was talking to you.
No, I do. I research my guests too. I understand. But I appreciate that. Abnormal Fixation. So I added actor credit to the. Actually, I have an IMDb credit. It's real.
Wow.
Cool. That's so awesome.
It's exciting. Through doing stand-up comedy, I'll save you the long story of it. Basically, a friend of a friend is a director. He's written like 30 horror and sci-fi books. He had a show, Enter the House Between, I believe it was called, that gained popularity in like the early 2000s as like an actual show, an audio drama. He's a creative that has done all these different things. He started a new project a few years ago, Abnormal Fixation. He plays the lead character, our mutual friend that connected us. She plays his co-star. And basically my role is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a paranormal investigative show, but the whole first season is this kind of push and pull of, his main character, Elvis Bragg, is chasing his ex-wife, Susan Winters, who's now married to Mark Missouri, who runs Skepticop, which is a whole nonprofit dedicated to disproving the paranormal. And Elvis Bragg believes in the paranormal. So there's this love triangle, there's this tension. And I basically play, we're in our second season now, one of Elvis's, part of his crew called the Professor, that if you can't tell by looking at me, I could sub in for a good, like, Edward Snowden impression. So that's very Edward Snowden inspired, of like ex-CIA, very mysterious, cloak and dagger, good with words. Nobody knows what his deal is. So it's very true to life of who I am, the Professor. So there you go.
Well, this is winning awards.
With the whole reason we have IMDb accreditation is through festivals. Isn't it the director and creator and all that good stuff, writer John Kenneth Muir, he's become a good friend. Yes, he's always out there pushing it, submitting it, and it is officially, it's an award-winning show. So that's all, John gets all the credit. I get like 3 pages of a script. So, you know, kudos to him.
Wow.
And my wife's in it too this season. Yeah, my wife Megan, she plays, I can't say what she plays without giving away spoilers, but my wife's in it this season. So everyone should definitely go check out Abnormal Fixation, see the Easter Day family and all, you know, Elvis Bragg, John, all our cohorts, you know, running amok and causing chaos. So
now I'm wondering if your wife's a specter or something along those lines. She's coming in, she's an specter. All right, man, dude, you've got quite an interesting life. I mean, truly, like, we started putting all this together, I'm like, man, we may not have enough time for like all of this that we got to talk about.
How do you think I feel on a daily basis? I don't have enough time.
I think you hit on it really succinctly, though, that laughter and joy and hope, it's all interconnected. And when we we strike up those connections, when we work on community, when we care about the person to our left and our right and what's going on around us, and we show up for people, it's incredible. So hats off to you for what you're doing, man. We really appreciate you being on the show. And, you know, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you're working on that you want to shout out before we say goodbye?
I think we hit all the main stuff. Folks can follow me on social media at the Easter Dude on pretty much every platform, at the Easter Pod, at Easter Day Creative, at Engage Current. Those are all the kind of main ones. If you even just find me anywhere, LinkedIn, I have all the links, all the things. But so there, if I miss anything, you can, you know, folks can connect there. One thing I would like to highlight before we get off here, log off, is I think it's important for me as I think about all these things. Like, my story of struggling growing up led to a lot of the nonprofit work. My mother-in-law, who I was very close to, and obviously, you know, that affected my wife a great deal, passing away a few years ago, is kind of what led into wanting to pursue stand-up comedy of life is short. I want to chase this dream and, you know, use the tragedy of the situation, the pain, to try to, like, bring hope and bring joy. And that's inspired many things of it. So I see that through line also of the yin and yang of, like, love, joy, and hope, and all these things that are very much core values for me. And like I said, the through lines of everything. But I always find it important to acknowledge that balance of, we all go through super dark times. And Chasen, you and I connected over this, you know, sharing our stories back and forth. And I just think it's, you know, if I could leave anyone with that takeaway, it's whatever dark time you're going through, whatever is like the hardest, worst things you've gone through in your life, I am a big believer that there can be a redemptive aspect to all our stories, that where not only we get to heal, but we get to hopefully help bring that healing to others through whatever we choose to pursue.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for taking the time to share that. That's super, super impactful. And I couldn't agree with you more. Oh my goodness. We have been talking to Corey Easterday. And if you haven't figured out by now that this guy is something special. So thank you for being on the show, brother. We really appreciate it. And we'll have all your links. And yeah, you're coming up. Like, it's coming this Friday. So, nope, I lied. It's not this Friday, the following Friday. So, but I will give you all the links. I'll let you know when everything drops. We'll send you an email with all the files you can use however you like. But we are so thrilled to have you on, man. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. My name's Chasen Forehand, and this lady right here, Dr. Melissa, so thrilled to have her on the show as well. She's super talented author, TEDx speaker, incredible lady that talks about empathy and EQ. If you don't know her, if you haven't seen her TED Talk, if you haven't bought her book, you need to get on that. Well, that's it for us now. We will catch you next time on Time to Change.